Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. This is your host, Jerry Williams, and we will have Miss Paula Alexander here in the show in just a few moments, so bear with us. So here is what we're going to be talking about today. So there's a lot of information that's happening out here in the news as we speak. First and foremost, let's just put out there on the first on the plate here about, Queen Elizabeth II. Of course, she was laid to rest today, the funeral today. What a tremendous ceremony that they had for her. And it was just, like I said, it was just a beautiful ceremony. If you did not see any of it, they do have it all over YouTube and a lot of different ways you can watch it. But if you haven't got to see it, please go check it out. She will definitely be missed. And one of the main topics we're going to be talking about today is abortions. We talked about this last week, and it's funny because it did strike a nerve with a lot of Republicans, or I should call them Trumplicans. And yes, there are a lot of the Trumplican support, people that support Donald Trump, and, they support the Republicans, and they're all about telling women what to do with their bodies, and, this is what they do, right? This is how these idiots are. They tell women what to do with their bodies, and that's how they've always been. And it's got to stop, Obviously, it's hurting the Republican Party because they're losing seats because of it, And that's where the problem lies. Getting into the next part of it. So did anybody check out what happened? And this is another thing. It's really kind of a crazy situation. But DeSantis, did you guys see this? So Governor DeSantis in Florida obviously did a stunt where he had some immigrants. He flew them. Obviously, they flew these immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. And the weird part is he's taking credit for this, But in a nutshell, this man was about bigotry and hate on this. And what he was trying to do is he was basically saying, we don't want you here. Let's get you the fuck out of Florida. This is, again, the Trumplicans. This is what they do. They don't believe in, they don't like people from the border. If you're down there down by Mexico and you're coming across the border or you're coming through Florida. By the way, these were legal immigrants, by the way. And he treated them with the utmost disrespect and hatred. And he just sent them to be dropped off. He made promises to them that they were going to have jobs and they were going to have this and that. And they were going to have a glorious time. You know, they were sending them to a future of just an imaginary. I mean, it was almost like, you know, telling somebody, oh, okay, we're going to take you to, you know, the Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory. You see all the visions of chocolate. And then when you get there, it's shit. Okay. That's what he did to these people. He treated them like assholes. And it's terrible. So Governor DeSantis doing what he did, it clearly states how bad this man is. And I think that what we have to realize is what he did with this is really crazy. But here's a little piece of information on that subject.
But we begin with the Freedom Riders, the group of white and black civil rights activists who rode buses across the South in 1961 with the goal of integrating public transportation and bus terminals. One of the original 13 Freedom Riders was the late, great Congressman John Lewis. It was a bold act of resistance to challenge the nation's segregation laws, and the riders encountered violence, beatings, and jail time. The very first ride was firebombed by a white mob in Alabama. The rides, however, would go on to transform America, setting the stage for the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Change is often met with resistance, which is why the next year, white segregationists concocted a viciously racist plan, offering black people one-way tickets to the North or to the West with the promise of a better life. These bus trips were dubbed reverse freedom rides. Here's Betty Williams on how her mother was lured onto one of them in 1962.
My mother was told she was going to have better everything. She was going to have a job and she was going to be able to support her family, and her children was going to be able to get an education, you know, be able to go to school. You know, that alone was not the truth.
Betty's mother was Layla Mae Williams of Arkansas. And those weren't the only lies that she was told. The segregationists promised Williams a presidential welcome in Hyannisport, Massachusetts. Here she is. Notice her outfit, the dress, a triple string of pearls, a white hat. The outfit that she changed into because she was told President John F. Kennedy would be greeting her upon arrival. When she arrived, he wasn't there. There was no job or housing, nothing. Southern segregationists hatched this plan to be cruel, for certain, but also to retaliate against Northern liberals who they believed would be unable to accommodate their new black residents. It would expose them as hypocrites. This was how owning the libs looked in 1962.
The Northern liberals and the NAACP, Urban League, and people like that especially, they have been crying the sing-song in behalf of the Negroes throughout the nation. And, of course, now when it comes time for them to put up or shut up, they have shut up.
That was George Singelman, a reverse freedom rights organizer 60 years ago, but sounding, you know, almost exactly like, well, a modern-day Republican using people, human lives, as pawns to make a political, and let's face it, a racist point. Sending people of color fleeing political and economic turmoil to the North to stick it to progressive policies. Where have we seen that before? Oh, right, in every headline that we've seen for the past 2 days. In what's being called an inhumane political stunt, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis sent planeloads of mostly Venezuelan asylum seekers to Martha's Vineyard on Wednesday. The migrants came from Texas, landing without warning on the island south of Cape Cod in Massachusetts. Texas and Massachusetts are states that Florida Governor DeSantis does not currently govern, but DeSantis is central to this spectacle, telling the Republican Party's top donors last weekend that he was considering transporting migrants to places like Martha's Vineyard. The plan was met with thunderous applause. Migrants in the group told the Miami Herald that they agreed to fly to Massachusetts on the promise of jobs and assistance, but didn't realize that they were bound for Martha's Vineyard. Three migrants told NPR that a woman named Perla approached them outside a shelter in San Antonio and lured them into boarding a plane, saying that they would be flown to Boston where they could get expedited work papers. She provided them with food, and Perla offered us help, one person said, help that never arrived. According to attorneys, no one on the island knew they were coming, leaving locals to scramble to meet their needs. Immigration attorneys are now working around the clock to understand their legal situations. Here is what one of them revealed last night.
They were lied to again and again and fraudulently induced to board the plane. They were told there was a surprise present for them and that there would be jobs and housing awaiting for them when they arrived. This was obviously a sadistic lie.
Joining me now is Democratic Florida State Representative Anna Escamani, Glenn Kirshner, MSNBC legal analyst and a former federal prosecutor, and Cristina Londoño-Rooney, Telemundo senior Washington correspondent. And Cristina, I know that you are not on Martha's Vineyard, but not far away, and I know that you've talked with some of these migrants. So I want to start with the part I think that for me anyway that is interesting to get to the bottom of is the Texas portion of it. The people that you spoke with, did their journey originate in Texas, and did they explain to you how they got from Texas to Florida before being flown to Massachusetts?
Yes, they did, Joy. Good evening. They told me that they were in Texas. They were kicked out of a shelter because they started charging them $85 a day, so they got kicked out, and a woman approached them and told them that she would help them out. They moved to a hotel, and one moment to the next, she tells them, get on these buses. I am going to help you out. This is what they said to me. They were driven to an airport, saw the planes, and were told to get on flights because they were going to be given shelter. They were going to get food, including prepaid credit cards. They were even going to get a surprise on the plane, and they were going to have a chance at starting a new life. Some of them say that the plane, it was two flights, they stopped in Florida briefly. Even Florida Governor DeSantis recognized that those flights stopped in Florida, and then they came to Martha's Vineyard.
And just to be clear, the people that you spoke with, they're mostly Venezuelan and Colombian, and I just to clarify, you're in Cape Cod, where the migrants are now. They've been moved to Cape Cod, and that's where you are. Had these families presented themselves as asylum seekers in Texas?
Yes, they had, and that's one of the things that they're very adamant about. They are angry that they're being called undocumented immigrants or illegals, that they can't stand the word, because they say as soon as they got to the United States, they turned themselves in to immigration officials. They were given paroles. We saw the documents that they have. So they're here in a legal fighting for legal status, and they're trying to do it the right way.
And one more question. Did this woman, who we've just been told the name Perla is the name that we've been given, did they mention that this woman showed them any form of ID to identify what organization she might have been with?
They didn't mention her name to me. They did not know any organizations. They say that they were gullible, they were vulnerable, they were hungry, they didn't have money. They're at the border, and somebody is offering them a flight out. They're offering them jobs, security, shelter for their children. So they decided to take the opportunity. They were put in a hotel. They were fed. So they saw these promises coming true. So that's why they decided to follow her. All of them. Now,
amazing, isn't it? It is amazing and sickening that Governor DeSantis did this. And he is taking credit that he did something good. And the sad part is the man actually treated them no different than what the beginning of this audio I just played said about what they did to the black people, to African Americans. So it's crazy that that they do this. And, you know, it really bothers me that this stuff is, you know, that this is happening. But again, this is the GOP. And not only that they're attacking immigrants, right? Not only that they're attacking these immigrants, but they're also attacking, check this out, they're attacking abortions, right? So they're telling women what to do with their bodies. And this is starting to become a very bad situation for the Republican Party. And Lindsey Graham just, you know, threw gasoline on the fire for the Trumplicans. And here is where this goes from that standpoint. Now, take a listen to this. Now, last week, we had some idiotic caller that called in, and he was a man, and he was a Trumplican, and he was saying that women basically don't have rights to their own body. And then he started, you know, spouting off biblical verses about abortions. And I wanted him to know that these next two little audio clips I have pertains to his stupidity and what we're going to be discussing today. So let me get these out of the way, and then we're going to bring Paul in. So here we go.
Is the GOP obsessed with outlawing abortion? The country is witnessing an unprecedented wave of abortion restrictions. But this anti-abortion rights platform did pop up suddenly. The GOP has had to be patient, strategic, and aggressive in their tactics, and occasionally say things like this.
I've noticed that everybody that is for abortion has already been born.
Wow, thanks for that groundbreaking insight, Mr. President. I'm going to break down why the GOP embraced abortion as a core policy and how we ended up with so many abortion restrictions. First, it may come as a surprise, but the GOP and their supporters weren't always against abortion rights. 3 years after Roe v. Wade, a landmark Supreme Court case that made abortion legal in the United States, was decided, public opinion polls actually showed that, on average, Republican voters supported abortion rights more than Democrats.
Well, historically, neither party was really pro-choice or pro-life, and there were politicians in either party who could be found in each camp. So there were lots of Catholic pro-life Democrats, like presidential candidate Joe Biden at one time opposed abortion.
Republican First Lady Betty Ford called Roe v. Wade a great, great decision. And Republican Vice President Nelson Rockefeller had campaigned for abortion rights in New York. Even the chair of the Republican National Committee was pro-abortion rights. Despite this, in the mid-70s, something started to happen in the GOP.
3 or 4 years after Roe v. Wade was passed, the GOP was definitely moving toward a more anti-abortion position. So the GOP Republican platform in 1976, for example, had some language about supporting the efforts of people who wanted to ban abortion through a constitutional amendment.
Abortion really started becoming a core issue for the GOP when this guy got into office.
Is an unborn child a human being? I happen to believe it is.
It really changed in 1980. In part, that was because Ronald Reagan was the first candidate to really make abortion a major issue. He was trying to capitalize on something that I think Richard Nixon had identified earlier in the 70s, which was that there were lots of traditionally Democratic voters. These were often Catholics or evangelical Protestants who were blue-collar, may have been part of a union, generally voted for Democrats because they thought the Democrats fought for the little guy. And Reagan thought that those voters could be peeled off if people in the GOP appealed to their views on issues like abortion.
Fortunately for Reagan, his presidency coincided with another movement gaining momentum.
This was also significantly the time when the religious right was mobilizing, so you began to see groups like the Moral Majority trying to bring evangelical Protestants into politics in a way that really hadn't been true before. So the GOP thought it would be important to present itself as the GOP put it, as the party of life.
The GOP's appeal to social conservatives like conservative Catholics and evangelicals kept growing, and both the party's leadership and base began to change. By 2009, only 12% of self-identifying Republicans supported abortion in all circumstances. Now, all the new abortion restrictions passed in 2019 are actually the outcome of a legal fight that intensified during the Obama presidency. specifically the 2010 state legislature elections. In 2010, 2 years after Obama became president, over 1,000 state Senate seats and almost 5,000 state House seats were up for re-election.
2010 was a huge Republican wave year, and a lot of that could have been predicted in advance. You know, simply put, a lot of Democrats were under the belief that because they'd elected Barack Obama in 2008, maybe they didn't have to show up at the polls in 2010.
The GOP was victorious. In fact, they did so well, they literally made history. The sweep gave Republicans their largest number of seats since the Great Depression. They flipped 20 chambers. That means either a state's House or a state's Senate went from blue to red. By the end of election night, they had seized control of the entire legislature, so both a state's House and a state's Senate in 25 states. One state they gained full control over was Alabama.
I would actually trace this back to 2008, when Democrats had a huge year, elected Barack Obama president and took over the U.S. Senate, the U.S. House. A lot of people thought that the Democrats in this country were going to ride a wave of changing American demographics to become the majority party here for a generation to come. And it didn't exactly turn out that way, did it? This is because Republicans realized that the 2010 elections could be much more consequential, even historic.
Why historic? Because the year that the state legislative elections took place was the same year that the census was undertaken. Once every 10 years after the latest census, states redraw the boundaries of their legislative districts. And that's a big deal. In 2010, political strategist Karl Rove wrote an op-ed that was subtitled, "He Who Controls Redistricting Can Control Congress." And guess who controls redistricting in most states? State legislatures.
What the Republicans understood was that control of state legislatures, these most important chambers in a state as far as a state house, a state senate, the most local level of representation, is important because those people also draw the congressional lines in this country. Republicans thought all of this through. None of this was by accident. They realized that these changing American demographics left them with the potential of being locked out of power around the country for a long time to come. And they saw the opportunity that redistricting presented for them.
Of course, gerrymandering, meaning to draw boundaries in a way that favors a specific party, has been occurring since like the early 19th century. And both Democrats and Republicans are guilty of it. But after Republicans swept the 2010 elections, they were in prime position to readjust the boundaries to favor the GOP.
Republicans thought about redistricting in 2010 in terms of seats at the table. And what they wanted to do was control every single one of those seats.
All right, there you go. I just wanted to play a little bit of that audio clip for you so you can hear that. And this is what is really funny. I know that this guy brought up about the Bible. So everybody wants to know, is abortions in the Bible, right? We hear this all the time. Abortions are in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. But let's look at something here, because the first thing that the Republicans go for is thou shall not kill or murder, right? That's usually where they go to. But this next little audio clip I have is perfect in explaining about abortions and Bible and how the Bible shows actually pro-choice. And here's what it says.
Bill O'Reilly spoke about abortion on his show last night with a Catholic official, and I want to listen and then educate everybody 100% on what the Bible and Christianity really teach about abortion.
Now, I want to ask you one more question. You saw John Kerry sitting on the couch there in the meeting, the Secretary of State. He's a Catholic. He's a pro-choice man. I've always told these politicians who say, and this is always the line, as you know, I'm personally opposed to abortion because I'm Catholic, but in public policy, I'm going to carry out the law of the land, Roe v. Wade, and not oppose. But my thing is, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that as a Catholic and as a Christian, you are compelled to protect life. You can't delineate, okay, public policy from you. You have to protect, outwardly protect it. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're absolutely correct.
All right, so it's a charade when they make this rationalization. Now, I wonder if the Pope or any of his guys pulled Kerry aside and said, you know what, this is the deal. You're compelled because his whole career, John Kerry, as senator, has been very ardently pro-choice. I'll give you the last word.
Well, there's a certain phrase in Scripture, strong delusion.
And you both have it, as I will demonstrate here, with facts and with quotes. So where is abortion mentioned in the Bible? Well, here is the area, or the areas, I should say, where the pro-life people point to. Quote, this is Psalms 139, lines 13 to 16. Quote, for thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me together in my mother's womb. I praise thee, for thou art fearful and wonderful. Wonderful are thy works. Thou knowest me right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. The eyes behold my unformed substance in thy book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Now, I know that's old-time biblical talk, so it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around. But if you notice there, that says nothing about being against abortion. It just simply describes how the Bible, how in the Bible God is responsible for creation. Now, the other passage that they point to, because clearly they kind of know that's not enough for them to say, well, yeah, the Bible's pro-life, see, is Jeremiah 1, lines 4 to 5. Quote, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. Oh, okay, well, I guess that's it. I guess the Bible is pro-life. But let me just check the next line here to see if that adds anything to it. And I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Hmm. So what the pro-life movement does is they take the first part of that quote I read for you, and they say, see, the Bible's pro-life. It says that the Lord knew you when you were in the womb. So that's it. But let me read it one more time, and you'll see if that's right or wrong. Quote, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. It's not talking about all people. It's talking specifically about Jeremiah. What an epic fail for the pro-life movement. That's their whole basis. Their whole basis of the Bible being pro-life are those two passages that I read you right there. And they don't. They're not pro-life. They don't say anything about God's against abortion. Now, the plot thickens even more. So what else does the Bible say about abortion? Well, let's take a look at Exodus 21, lines 22 and 23. Quote, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, and he shall pay as the judges determine. You know what that means? Let me decode that from biblical speak for you. You pay a fine if you punch a woman in the stomach and she miscarriages. You pay a fine. You pay a fine. You pay a fine. You don't go to jail. You don't go to jail. You don't go to jail. I'm reminding myself of Allen Iverson right now. We talk about practice? Practice. We talk about practice. You pay a fine. You don't go to jail. You don't get the death penalty. If you kill a person back then, yeah, you get the death penalty. But if you make a woman have an abortion, if you make her miscarry by hurting her, pay a fine. Gets even better. Wait for this. Hosea 9:14. Quote, give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Yes, this is the part of the Bible where God actually performs abortions. But obviously the Bible is completely against abortions, other than the parts where God performs abortions. Let's keep that in mind. Still not done. We're still not done. My favorite is from Numbers 5 because of how overwhelming it is. Quote, the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord make thee a curse and an oath among thy people. When the Lord doth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell, And when he hath made her to drink the water, then it shall come to pass, that if she be defiled and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall rot. And if the woman not be defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free and shall conceive seed. You know what that means? I know, again, with the biblical speak, it's hard to decode, but you know what that means? It means that cheating wives are supposed to get an abortion in the Bible. Cheating wives are supposed to get an abortion according to the Bible. You drink the poison or however they refer to it, and it makes your belly swell and the fetus rot and drop out. And the idea is if your wife didn't cheat on you, she'll drink it and she'll be safe because it's your kid and that's pure. And then God is like, oh, no, that's fine. You're cool. It's his baby. But if it's the baby of somebody else, have the abortion. You're supposed to do that. This idea that, you know, Christians have in the U.S. specifically, you know, this started with fundamentalism in America. This idea that, well, the Bible's obviously against abortion. Obviously. It's totally made up. It's totally and utterly made up. And this goes back to an important point about fundamentalist religion. That people use it to justify whatever their already held beliefs are. So somebody comes along who's a repressed gay person who comes from an anti-gay family, and they need to justify their bigotry and their hatred, so they point to the one passage in the Bible in Leviticus that's anti-gay, and they go, see, it's not me, it's God that says it, and then they go around preaching that. But is that same person protesting outside of the fish market? Because in the Bible, they ban shrimp, lobster, crab, oysters, all that stuff, shellfish, gone. Can't eat it. Supposed to be put to death if you do. They're not protesting outside of the fish market. They're not protesting outside of the meat store because pork is banned in the Bible. They're cool with that. They eat that. But then for gays, well, it's their pet cause. You know, same thing here. Abortion is their pet cause. Doesn't matter that it doesn't say it in the Bible. Obviously, the parts of the Bible that are more in your face are all the areas where they talk about helping the poor and the sick and the downtrodden. Everything Jesus said is super hippie and super left-wing. But the conservative Christians disregard that, and they focus on abortion. No, it's all about abortion, except it's not, like I just described to you. It's all about caring about the poor. Now, are you going to do that because you're a Christian? Well, no, you're not, because, again, it's not about what it says. It's about what your already held biases and prejudices are, and then you're just going to use the book to rationalize it. And the final thing I'll say here is it's so ironic coming from Bill O'Reilly. Not just the smug attitude of, like, like they don't get it. John Kerry doesn't get it. You're compelled. You obviously have to fight for to be pro-life because it says it in the Bible. It doesn't? What? But it's this...
In a world where one idiotic dictator has screwed up America, his followers continue to destroy by showing hatred, division, and racism. They have even went as far as committing a domestic terrorist attack on our U.S. Capitol. But one woman stands above all of them and takes them on one by one. This woman from Arkansas is the one, the only, Miss Paula Alexander.
You fuck so good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Stretches all down my back to keep
my
right on.
Hey. Well, yeah, welcome, Miss Paula Alexander. How you doing, girl?
Hey, I was laughing over your little monologue about me.
I know. It's your new movie introduction.
I knew before you even said my name that was about me.
I had to do a movie intro.
I love that last audio clip where that guy breaks down what the biblical verses are, and he's right. He's right. You know, the Republicans, this is a buzzword with them. Abortion is a buzzword. They take it and they try and it's their lure to suck in conservative Christians and Catholics. And because, you know, the Catholics, they're always for big families. You know, they don't believe in birth control or abortion or... And that goes back to ancient times when the Catholic Church said, we want you to procreate. And what that would do is they would be raised in the Catholic faith so that they would also be Catholic. And then the Catholics give money to the church, who gives it to the Vatican. It all goes back to the Vatican in Italy. So, you know, it's an ancient thing. Make your families big, make them Catholic, produce all these children, they'll be Catholic, and then they'll get jobs, and then they will donate to the Catholic Church, which goes to the Vatican. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
That's what that's all about. So it's a ruse. And the Christian church, the fundamentalist Christian church, fundamentalist conservative Christian church, grabbed onto that and clung to it and use it as their own call to bring in more money for the Christian church as well. So, you know, abortion isn't about religion. It's not about religion.
No.
It's about fundamental human rights of women.
Yeah, and I liked how he said, like he was saying, that they'll take the verses and they'll read just a portion of the verse. And that's what they do. And they don't read the rest of it. And if you read the rest of it, it actually makes more sense that it's opposing what they're saying. And, you know, so a lot of times they just throw out one-liner verses trying to attack people and using it, just like he was saying. They can use that for, like, you know, gay people, homosexuals, you know, stuff like that. You know, and they'll use that against them. And so, that's what the GOP has turned into, which is funny because that's why I played the audio before that stated that the GOP at one point actually were pro-choice. And then they changed their mind from the 70s into the 80s. So, and now they're always, now they're not pro-choice, they're pro-life.
So it began with Nixon, if I get this right, according to that audio clip. It began with a little bit with Nixon, but then Reagan carried it to a whole new level. And if you look back on Reagan and think about all the bullshit that he did, that's where the fundamentalist conservative Republicans really began, is with Reagan. I mean, he had taking away, not only that, but, you know, his trickle-down policy on the economics, it ruined the lower and middle class. People suffered financially because of that. And the Republicans just took that and ran with it. You know? It's like a big old fat juicy worm on the end of a fish hook. You know?
Yep. Oh yeah.
And it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse until Trump and these idiot maggots that are out there going. I mean,
and now they're focusing on it 100%. That's what their basis is right now, is abortions. And so this is what's, and it's causing a lot of problems with them, because obviously, as they're seeing that they're losing, they've lost a couple, positions because of this.
Yeah, well, it's worse than it's Lindsey Graham calling for a federal abortion ban is actually worse than what everybody knows. Okay, I have a picture up here that I copied. Let me read this to you. The federal abortion ban that Lady Lindsey Graham and Senate Republicans introduced puts doctors in jail for up to 5 years, forces women to undergo invasive transvaginal ultrasounds,
Did you read that?
Yeah, I read that. I'm reading it now.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading right now. So it's much worse than what he talked about in his. I mean, forces women to undergo invasive transvaginal ultrasounds? That's what the Republicans want to do? Really?
Oh, my God.
It's just incredible to me that this man, who's a closet gay, who would freak out if he saw a real vagina.
He wouldn't know what to do with that.
No. Who doesn't have a partner, doesn't have a wife, doesn't have kids, and he's trying to tell women what to do with their own damn bodies? It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I don't think Lindsey Graham would know what to do with it.
No.
Paulman.
Yeah.
Did you know that somebody made a good point the other day, and I was watching it, but they made a good point about something. Did you know, if you think about it, the Republicans always harp on this abortion stuff. But it's funny that they don't give a shit when it comes to passing bills to feed people who are dying every day, or people out there in the streets, they don't want to pass a bill to ban assault weapons that are out there killing people every day. But they all they care about is abortions. It doesn't make sense.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. I mean, it's hypocrisy at a maximum level. I mean, it's just total hypocrisy that they want to tell women what to do with their bodies, yet they want to go against all of Jesus' teachings. And speaking of the Bible, I have, and this immigration thing going on. People want to quote the Bible. I have Bible on my phone. Let me read one about the immigrants. This is from where I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. That is Matthew 25, 35 to 36. Another one. Leviticus 19:33 to 34. When a foreigner lives with you in your land, don't take advantage of him. Treat the foreigner the same as a native. Love him like one of your own. Remember that you were once foreigners in Egypt. I am God, your God. Another one, Leviticus 19:34. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the native born among you. You shall love the alien as yourself. What's the same verse, but one is the New King James Version, one is the Old King James Version. Jesus, the Bible teaches to love a foreigner as yourself, as one of your own family. And I'm so proud of the people in Martha's Vineyard that did that. And now all the trolls are going, well, within 24 hours they put them on an airplane and escorted them out. But in the meantime, they put together 50 beds, food, clothes, and they were escorted to an Air Force base where they can be processed because they entered the, like you said. And that's another thing that bothers shit out of me. All these people are saying they're illegal. No. They were actually, we're not in Florida to begin with. Okay? Florida is not a border town. Texas is. They came from Texas. DeSantis had them come from Texas to Florida so he could send them to Martha's Vineyard on purpose to hurt them and to try and hurt the Democrats. And it's backfiring on him. They came to the country. When they entered the country at the Texas border, they applied for asylum. And for those that don't know what asylum is, that's legal. They are actually entering the country by legal means, by applying for asylum. They were Venezuelan immigrants that came from a country, Venezuela, where their leader is a dictator. They're living in poverty. They're being killed. They say that it's not a dictatorship, that it's a presidential position, but his name is Nicolas Maduro, who is the president of Venezuela. And he does not act like a president, like Donald Trump didn't act like a president. He acts like a dictator. He treats the citizens like a dictator. The people are hungry and poor, and they came here looking for a better life, and they applied for asylum. They are asylum seekers. They are not illegal immigrants. Cannot use that word illegal when an immigrant is applying for asylum, for refuge. They're seeking refuge from a dictatorship. It makes me so angry that he used these people, human lives, as a pawn. And this is a governor that calls himself a Christian and yet ignores all those Bible verses I just quoted.
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny about the Bible, and this is what a lot of people don't realize. I mean, and if people took the Bible and read everything that was in the Bible, and that's the funny thing is a lot of people don't know the whole Bible, honestly. You know, they don't know what it is. But, like, for example, so I'm going to show you some examples just for a second. So if the Republicans practice everything that the Bible tells them to do as Christians, then, you know, they should know some other verses. Like, for example, here's one. It's called, this is a Bible verse about eat your children. It says, and this is in Deuteronomy 28 through 53, it says, "And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in siege and in straitness, where thine enemies shall distress thee." And in Deuteronomy 28:57 says, "And towards her young, one that cometh out between her feet, and towards her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and the straitness wherein thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates." So, I mean, like, these are, like, biblical verses that are real. They're in the Bible, but people don't talk about this. And where God is okay on abortion, for example, this is in Numbers 5:27-28. It says, "And when he hath made her drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she is defiled and have done trespass against her husband, and the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thighs shall rot, and the woman shall be cursed among her people. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free, and shall conceive of the seed." So this is a prime example. I mean, do you, I mean, if you read that, you know what it means, right? That basically they're going to give her some poisonous whatever it is, and if she's pure to the baby, or the baby's hers, like that, I think even this guy mentioned this in that audio, then the child will be okay. But if the child's not hers, or of the
right,
the true man, then it will be aborted, basically.
There is a actual term for that, and it's called bitter waters. And after biblical times, women actually used concoctions, herbs and poisons and plants and things to concoct a bitter water, unquote, to make themselves have a spontaneous miscarriage, abortion. So, I mean, it just kills me that, you know, this is something. Yeah.
Here's one. Now listen to this. This will blow your mind. So in Psalm 137:9, this is 137:9. This is in the King James Version. It's also in the New American Bible, blah, blah, blah. It says, happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Happy the man who shall seize and smash your little ones against the rock. And in the New American Bible, it says, a blessing on anyone who seizes your babies and shatters them against a rock. Psalms 137:9 of Jerusalem Bible. And that these are all different verses, or the same verse in the different translations, obviously. But it's asking a Christian friend, you know, so if you look at this, the reason why I'm reading this, if they practice everything that word of the Bible says, if they believe that everything in that Bible, then they can't forget about these type of verse. You know what I mean? It's in there.
Right.
And so, this is where, yeah. Oh, go ahead, man.
So, conservative Republicans are picking and choosing their Bible verses. In
yes.
other words, the,
yep.
especially
and
the one that says, especially the one that says, thou shalt not kill. And again,
send this, to
this was, huh?
I'm going to send you this. It's actually this, what I'm giving you or what I'm showing you is verses that are in the Bible. It's called the Dark Bible. And what that means is it's verses that are, these are verses that are, so these are all verses in the Bible. They're not made up. It's, exactly what it is. And then, these are all, you know, excerpts of it. And then, so people don't want to, so this is, like I said, it's verses. Somebody brought this up one day and I read it and I thought it was a really good point because I'm like, I never knew that this kind of, I didn't know all these verses were in the Bible, but they are in the Bible. So I'm going to give them to you and that way you can read all these. There's a whole bunch of them, but it goes into how people pick and choose the verses in the Bible, basically.
Right. Yeah. So, and the other Bible verse that they don't want to read is the one that says that life begins at first breath. Yeah.
Yes.
Let me.
No, that's.
Genesis 2:7, birth. Emphasize the word birth with the first breath. Doesn't say life begins in the womb. It says life begins at birth with the first breath. A baby can't take a first breath until after it's born. So in other words, that life doesn't exist until after it's born and takes a breath of oxygen. Fetuses are not persons. Fetuses are not persons. Exodus 21:22-25. Fetuses should be aborted as proof of adultery, like you read. Numbers 5:11-31. God will rip open pregnant mothers to be. 2 Kings 8:12. God will kill unborn fetuses, Isaiah 13:18. I'm so sick and tired of people just taking the thou shalt not kill and not reading, not Googling all this information.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Here's another one. There is a difference between an unborn and an already born child. The unborn has less significance and status. Exodus 21, 22 to 25. All this is an excuse to control women. That's all it is.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And that's what they want to do. That's what men, these Republicans, who are mostly men, want to do, is to control women. And I feel like, because these men have nothing else in their lives going on, and here's what's crazy is that, we even get some callers like that, where they're, like that one guy, for example, who likes to keep his woman in a bedroom or some shit. You know, he likes to have control of his wife or girlfriend, whatever she is. So he controls her, feeling that he is above her. He's inferior, or he's superior to her. And then they use the Bible saying that women should be submissive to men. You know, that's what they use.
We're supposed to be subservient. Like that guy, like the other night when that guy was on, and I let you guys go at it, and you were asking him questions, and you guys were going back and forth for about, 5-10 minutes? Something like that. I don't know. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And then the minute I butted in and tried to give my point of view, from a woman's point of view, as soon as I started, he started talking over me. He didn't give a shit what a woman had to say about it.
No.
He did not.
Nope. As soon as you started talking, Paula, bam, he jumped in and said, fuck that, I'm going to control her, and I'm going to speak over her because I'm a man.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. So, it's a control thing from men. Lots of Republican women out there that have bought into this. And it is beyond me how another woman can want to control other women like men are controlling them. I do not get it. I do not understand it.
Somebody posted in the chat room and says that Psalms 137 in history was the context of Israel being captive in Babylon. It was Israel's enemies who were crashing their babies to the rocks. Well, again, it's in the Bible, which people can use that in their own context, what they want to use it for, because it's in there. You see what I'm saying? I mean, people can say, what? Well, it says it there, so why aren't you doing it? Why aren't we following
and this?
Because they're enemies.
This is the thing. And the hypocrisy is grand on this one. Because if the Bible says that life doesn't begin until the first breath, in other words, until after a baby is born, then the Bible is also saying to kill a life of a child. How can you reconcile the two? If the child is already alive and breathing and because of what the Bible says, then how can you reconcile the Bible for also saying, dash your baby upon the rock, your child upon the rocks? I mean,
exactly.
It makes no sense.
And just like the other part of it, like in Numbers, that one part was just perfect about, you know, having these women drink this this bitter water, you were calling it, where if the child is of God and it's pure, and this woman didn't get pregnant by, you know, basically committing adultery is basically what it is, then this child would actually be born. If not, by drinking that bitter water, it'll end up dying. And basically abort. And like it said, her thighs will rot, her belly will swell. So, I mean, they obviously practiced this back then. And
right.
You know what I mean? So this was like the test to see if the baby was going to be there. It's the same as, okay, it's the same as if you were to look at in Mark where it talks about, you know, in Mark of the Bible, it talks about, you know, taking up serpents. Well, you got people out there in these churches that take up serpents and they're getting bit by the things and they're dying. And then when they get swollen and die of the poison, everybody says, well, they weren't really a true heart of God. You know what I mean? So obviously they practice, you see what I'm saying? They practice whatever it is and twist it for their
right.
own benefits. That's exactly
right.
what they do.
Right. Yeah, so there are children.
And abortions.
So if you believe that, if you people, we're going to mix the two up, abortion and immigration. Okay, there are children.
Yes, definitely.
There are children coming across the border because they've lost their parents, because their parents have sent them with a older sibling, still a child, but an older sibling, to cross the border. And it's happening. It happens. Or with a relative across the border.
Yeah.
And you believe that all lives matter, then why the fuck do you put down immigrants? Why the fuck do
Absolutely.
You put down these children that are coming across the border? Why do you want them to go back mm-hmm. home when you know damn good and well they have a horrible life where they came from, and yet you do
yeah.
not support those children that are coming across the border? It's
exactly
hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy at its finest.
Mm-hmm. That's right, hon. You know, and the thing is that Republicans always want to say, you know, oh, no, we can't do abortions because we don't want to kill children. But these people, like you were just talking about, immigration. So they have immigration coming across, and then they want to separate. This is what Donald Trump did. He separated the parents from their children. And, you know, I mean, these children were being, you know, treated like prisoners. And then what about, you know, not being fed, and then, you know, these children get sick and they die? I mean, it's horrific. So what it boils down to is the Republicans are trying to say, we get to choose who lives and who dies. And we believe a baby should be alive. But everybody else, after you're born, once you leave that womb, we don't give a shit about you. You can die if you want to, or get killed out the street with a gun. An AR-15, or, you know, you can starve to death because we ain't going to pass no bills for you to be able to feed your families. So,
yep.
you know what happens? Fuck you if you after you're born. That's what they're doing.
And that reminds me, back earlier in the year when baby formula was short because of supply and demand, because it goes back, it's complicated, it goes back to the pandemic, supply and demand, the world was basically shut down, and so supply and demand was at a lull. It lulled to a okay. So were a couple of countries where baby formula was still still being processed and still available. And for all you Republicans out there that are listening and do not know this, the Democrats, they were screaming and yelling that there was no baby formula for all those babies out there not getting fed or for the mothers that couldn't breastfeed. Some mothers cannot breastfeed. Or they work and they need baby formula to supplement their babies. So back in the spring, the Democrats put forth a bill to fly in baby formula from those countries that still had plenty of baby formula on hand. Every single frickin' Republican in the House, every Republican representative in the House, after screaming and yelling about it, that there was a baby formula shortage, voted against having that baby formula flown in from those other countries. That is your party. That is your hypocritical, hateful, divisive party. So
that's right.
They actually, in reality, didn't care that babies weren't being fed. There wasn't enough formula for the babies in the United States. They did not give a shit. They only cared that they could scream and yell that there wasn't enough baby formula and blame it on President Biden.
Yeah, exactly. And Jen, my lovely wife, made a good point. She just told me, she said, if you think about what this all boils down to, all this stuff like the bittersweet stuff we just talked about, the water, all this stuff we just talked about, it is the same as when men would take women back at the back and sell them, and they would hang, they would burn them at the stake, thinking they're a witch, and they would murder women, thinking that they were witches, because you know they thought, oh well, if they did something strange, you know, they're a witch. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, if you go even in the Bible, when it comes to women, what's weird is like if a woman had her period, they felt that that woman was unclean, and she would have to separate herself for weeks until she would go in front of a priest that would say that she was clean enough, and then they would have to burn or sacrifice, you know, like birds or whatever, like two doves or whatever. So they would have to do all this just to make sure that they were clean from having a damn period, but they were considered unclean, that they were nasty. I mean.
And so this is what the lack of science knowledge has done to human beings. They didn't understand that we bleed once, you know, they didn't know about women back then. So
no,
they had to do
no.
a ritual. They had to do a ritual in front of a priest. Wow.
And in front of a priest, and it's the weirdest thing. I do know that's in that thing I sent you at that dark room. I know it's in there because I read it years ago. I was like studying that pamphlet, and I read this, and it's so crazy that they do this. But like, you know, and I'm thinking to myself that you have that, you have all the stuff that they treated. But a woman was basically supposed to be below the man, and that's exactly what it's supposed to be. And the Republicans are going back in time and using the Bible, and the funny thing is they're using the Old Testament. By the way, the Old Testament,
yeah.
Which by the Old Testament is basically was supposed to be done. It was more for history, because Jesus in the New Testament fulfilled all that prophecies, and they were supposed to follow that part of the New Testament of Jesus Christ. But that's where they go back in the time and still practice the Old Testament ways and do things that's out of there. It's just so stupid. Oh, by the way, I got Virginia. She wanted to say something. Did you want to say something there?
Yeah, well, first off, I wanted to
correct you when I was saying about the stupidity of humans. How in the Bible it said that they had, that the woman who was, you know, apparently had a, you know, an affair, and then as she drinks this thing, and it's supposed to, you know, like, miraculously get rid of the baby if it wasn't the father, the man she was married to. It's the same stupidity and belief that they would drown women if they thought that they were witches, and if they floated and died, then that meant that they were pure of witchcraft and they were going to go to heaven. But if they didn't and they sank like a rock and died, or didn't die, then they were considered witches and then burned at the stake.
Right, right. And the thing is that all these supposed witches that they threw in the water had their hands tied behind the racks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just women either. It was also men that they were doing that to. They thought that a man was also, you know, performing witchcraft. They did the same thing, treated him the same way.
Right. As a warlock, right?
How can you?
But my main thing that I wanted to freaking talk about was this whole separation of church and state, right? All this whole abortion and illegal immigrants and all this stuff has to stem from all these Republicans calling themselves Christian. Vote for me because I'm Christian. Vote for me because my God wouldn't allow this. But isn't it supposed to be a separation of church and state?
Right.
Nobody seems to understand or explain to me. My uncle explained it, well, like, it just means that they can't make laws based on religion. What do you think they just did with the abortion laws, the Roe versus Wade? Republicans believe that that was immoral against God, and that is they are now bringing church into state. But we're not allowed to have it in school.
I have. I copied a picture off Twitter that is perfect for this separation of church and state thing. Let me read it to you because it's perfect. The founders wrote the Constitution, not the apostles. They added the Bill of Rights, not the Ten Commandments. Their intent was freedom of religion. It was not controlled by religion. They created a democracy, not a theocracy. Christianity is not a political party. I thought that was perfect.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we're told
I was going to say churches should be taxed if they want to get involved into political game. Then churches should have to pay taxes.
And this is the thing. This is the thing. There are people like Orrin Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene that are saying that religion needs to be more important. Christianity needs to be more important than our Constitution. This is the thing. Our forefathers were deists, agnostics, atheists, and a few Christians. They specifically wrote the Constitution because they no longer wanted to be controlled by religion as England was doing to them. A deist is someone who is a deist believes in a higher power. It's more earthbound. It's almost paganism. An atheist obviously doesn't believe in any god. An agnostic is also a person. Well, is a person that has their doubts about whether they're in between. Is there a higher power? Is there a God? Or is there not? And those are the men that wrote our Constitution. they decided, because they had been under the thumb of the monarchy of England that told them how to believe, they did not want that for the United States of America. They wanted people to be able to believe the way they wanted to believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to believe, do so. If you don't want to believe, don't so.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
Never. So for these politicians going out there and saying that religion, Christianity, is more important than the Constitution is absolutely ridiculous, when our Constitution was written by people, by men, that didn't necessarily believe in God or religion.
And you know how all these people say, vote for me because I'm a Christian, and then all of these, like, right-wing, Republican, hard, Pentecostal, Trump-loving people, they're like, you know, this is the only religion. Is it not definition of Christian is somebody who believes in God? It doesn't mean a God. It doesn't mean a Catholic God, a pagan God. It just says a God. It doesn't specify a specific religion. But they're making us believe that we have to vote for them because they're Christian. They believe in God.
Right.
Well, and so does Judaism, and so does Hinduism, and all of them. They all believe in God. It may not be the God you're thinking of, but if in definition, anybody who believes in a God is considered Christian.
Yeah, right. And even Native Americans called they use the words the Great Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Muslims, I was married to a Muslim for 14 years. You know, there's been, you know, after 9/11, so many people that their God, well, it's not their God, it's our God. Because Allah is the word for God. In the Islamic religion, they speak another language. They speak another language. Allah is God to us. It's the same God we worship, but they worship him in a different religion. The same thing goes for Judaism. Judaism, the Jews, they call
Judaism.
Judaism, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
They call him word for God, Judaism. Damn, I can't remember. I'm looking it up.
Adawuchi.
China?
And I watched a little story today while she's looking that up about how this Roe versus Wade and how against Democrats against the Republicans. Did you know when Roe versus Wade first started, the Republicans were for it? The Republicans were the ones who were trying to force to get it past Roe versus Wade in the 80s.
Isn't it pathetic?
And now all of a sudden they're against it?
I know,
because
right?
Because Trump, their antichrist, is the one that told them that it's wrong?
Yeah.
Isn't the definition of antichrist
you are fake
somebody
news.
Who's going to make you believe into their God?
Okay. These are some of the names for God in the Jewish religion. Yahweh. Elohim.
Yahweh, yeah.
And Elohim. These are their language. It's the language. And so it makes me so angry. Okay, so you have a different religion. We all have a name for God in our language. Just incredible.
Isn't Gaia one of them? I think it's Indonesian or something. Gaia? Yeah, it's the same word, God. It's just what they call God. It's like how we call bread here, but they call it baguettes in frickin' France, you know?
Well,
we call a sweater here, but they call it a jumper, you know?
Right. Well, actually, Gaia is the, like a metaphysical term for Mother Earth God. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if anybody who believes in God believes that God created the earth, well, so wouldn't he be the deity of earth? But if you break every religion down, and even like paganisms and Wicca and all of that, all of it still stems from the same, a being created life.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Because you worship in a different religion, we all have our name for God in our own language.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just incredible that people think that because you don't call God God, that they don't believe in the same God that that Christians believe in. It's just blows me away. Blows me away. So, anybody else in the chat room? Oh, somebody.
Man, we got a caller. There's a call. Hey, we got a caller.
Okay.
I know who this is. This is Kalel. Kalel, what's up, brother?
I'm doing okay. How
you
doing?
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Hey, Paula.
Hey.
One of the things I know. How you guys been doing?
Okay.
Paula's doing good. What about you?
How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go on a trip to Shenandoah National Park on Saturday.
Ooh, that should be nice.
Yep.
You get to travel quite a bit, don't you?
He does.
A little bit. I didn't get to go on a trip
Paula,
like last
be hanging
year.
Out with Kalel.
Yep.
We should be hanging with you, brother, because we need to travel.
Yeah. I need a wheelchair these days.
We'll get you that Professor Xavier's type wheelchair. You'll be like zippity zoozoo all over the place there, Paula.
I don't know what kind. Well, I don't know what that is, but it sounds good to me.
One of the things I noticed with the right is they don't want to see hypocrisy until it's our side. You know, like they don't have their priorities straight as far as hypocrisy. Like, you shoot a gun in a movie, but you support gun control. They want to expose you, but then you call them out for the abortion versus gun control thing. All of a sudden, it's a straw man to them.
Right.
And that's what kind of thing. Anything that involves guns, you know, it's a straw man to them, but when it's the other side, it's not a straw man. It's so backwards.
It is. Whenever it comes to the Republican Party and all those guys, they're all backwards for some reason. And, you know, they like to choose, you know, who lives, who dies. They choose what's right and wrong for the people as far as, you know, I mean, hell, if you're diabetic, you could have had $35 insulin, man. But thanks to the Republicans, you ain't got that shit right now.
And also, one of the things is I noticed it's the same thing with the whole, like, Fast and the Furious thing. Like, they did the same thing with the Fast and the Furious thing that they did with the whole, like, immigrant thing that Ted Cruz did. They basically used the Brian Terry as a prop.
Really?
Yeah, you know Brian Terry, the one that died because of a botched operation?
Yes.
Yeah, they like Daryl Issa and the NRA, they really, it made me mad with that because they only used that to prove a point. They didn't use it to learn from it. And it wasn't a good thing that happened, and I really feel bad for him that he died, but it shouldn't be people like that that try to use something like that.
I agree. I agree 100% on that because, you know, it's people like, and that's what it is. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Also, like, I found out that, I don't know if you noticed, did you know that when you, what's his name, Rand Paul was trying to get military-style weapons away from the police, but this is the same guy that's against gun control. And I admire more Kamala Harris for doing it because she's consistent. And see, I don't know, did you know that, like, all the federal agencies are like if you go to FBI or ATF, you are trained tactically before you're an agent? Did you know that?
No. I didn't know that.
Because, and then if you're local police, you were trained tactically in a rifle. And Rand Paul doesn't want that, but he wants civilians to have whatever they want.
Yeah, that sounds backwards right there, don't it? Because why would a civilian, you know, be able to get whatever they want, but then they, you know, but their government officials can't even be trained in it or, you know, have these tactical weapons?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
Right.
Guess what I'm reading on Twitter.
What's that?
A former Russian KGB officer confirms Trump has been a Russian asset since 1987.
That makes sense. That'd be real.
And it says the KGB manipulated Trump with simple flattery.
Oh my gosh. I could actually believe that. That actually is something I can believe.
You know, he did a rally last night. He did a rally last night. And on the same night, it was in Ohio, Youngstown. And last night it was during the football game. So they scheduled a rally for him in Youngstown, Ohio, on the night of a football game. And we all know how Ohio thinks of their football games.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So there were a lot of empty seats.
Did he get a lot of repercussion from that shit?
From last night? From the...
Yeah, from last night. Did he get? I mean, did people go get some backlash on him on that?
No. The guy's name is, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Spetz. It's spelled SHD. Then Victor ETS told Unger that the KGB cultivated Trump as an American leader and persuaded him to run his ad attacking American alliances. The ad was assessed by the Active Measures Directorate as one of the most successful KGB operations at that time. He said it was a big thing to have three major American newspapers publish the KGB.
No shit.
So, yeah. So he's been actively actively promoting communism in the United States since 1987. And this is a question I just saw asked, and he's still trying to rile up his base, even at the rally last night. He's still calling for, you know, to take over the government, that still saying the election was illegal. And why he is not in jail, I have no fucking clue. Because he's obviously an enemy of the United States of America. And he ran the country for 4 fucking years.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, why Trump has not, you know, been in prison or indicted yet. You know, it's funny. I always watch, you know, Michael Cohen, you know, Trump's ex-lawyer, basically. But I like watching him because, you know, he kind of goes off on Trump. He hates Trump, and I think it's great. But the thing I thought was funny, what he said, is he said that he feels and he believes that from, you know, everything that's going on, that Donald Trump is going to be indicted as early as probably the end of this month. I would love to see that. I think that would be the best. The day that that happens, we're going to be throwing a fucking party.
Right. And his base is going to be on social media or in their little chat rooms trying to gather ammunition and start a civil war. So that's what's scary.
Oh, fuck you.
So, and by the way, just for your information, I don't know if you know this or not, there is another live J6 hearing coming up on September 28th, on the 28th.
Okay.
Would you like me to remind you of that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you better remind me.
I don't know what time. They haven't given a time yet. But yeah, they're saying another J6 hearing, and this is like supposed to be one of the last live ones. Now, whether it will be or not, who knows? Because
So Paula, for people out there that don't understand what J6 is, you want to give a good explanation of what that is?
Yeah. Okay. It's the January 6th hearings about the people that plotted to overtake the government on January 6th, 2021. And in democracy as it is, make Donald Trump the dictator of the United States, because there's no way he should have been president, because we had a fair election. Now, this is what gets me is I'm 69 years old. I've been voting for 50 years. 50 fucking years. And not until Donald Trump did all of a sudden all these people come out and say the election wasn't right. It wasn't fair. It was stolen. Are you fucking kidding me?
And
the whole history of the United States, much less my 50 years of voting, all of a sudden, the 2020 election wasn't fair and was stolen. And why? Why are people saying that? It's because that's stupid.
Well,
traitor to the country said it was stolen. And his stupid cult believers believe him. A pathological liar.
And the depths that he did to try to push that, you know, saying, oh, Mike Pence better do what's right. And he really threw Mike Pence so far under the bus that, you know, he basically put him out with, I mean, it's like taking him out there throwing blood on him and throwing him in the shark infested waters and saying, you're on your own, bitch. And basically wanted him to be dead. You know, he was basically telling his people to go after Mike Pence for not, if he doesn't do what he wanted.
Right. Now, I do have to say, you know, there's been a lot of impatient people on social media going, why hasn't the DOJ, Merrick Garland and the DOJ gone and arrested him? First, this is a historic precedent. Never in the history of the United States has a president or ex-president been arrested for treason.
Exactly.
Okay. Second, Merrick Garland is a prosecutor that has prosecuted many, many big cases, including the Oklahoma bombing, the Unabomber, and never, ever, ever said what he was going to do ahead of time to the media. Never. So, third, because it was a president of the United States with a cult following, they have to get their ducks in a row. They have to make damn sure that they have their facts verified and in order. So, I mean, it's a precedent. An ex-president has never, ever been convicted of treason. So, you know.
Man.
This is something new. They have to make sure. Merrick Garland and the DOJ have to make damn sure. And the January 6th committee has to make damn sure they have everything verified. For all those people out there thinking, oh, they're just saying it. No. No, you people. They're subpoenaing phone records, phones, Republicans to come testify. They have to have all their ducks in a row. They have to make sure that it's actual, factual. And for anybody that doesn't believe in it, you're brainwashed. You are a cult member. Cult members are brainwashed. They're going to believe what the cult leader says, no matter what he says, or they say. Some cult leaders have been female. They're going to believe everything the cult leader says, and he's a cult leader.
Oh, yeah, big time. And, you know, it's funny that so did you see that Governor DeSantis shows up at a GOP rally and everybody gave him a standing ovation and applause for his swift action of the immigrants and migrants getting them in a safe location?
No.
What a dumbasses.
I just,
oh, my God.
You know, I mean, how Christian of you to take people who they were lied to? They were lied to. They were told there were jobs and housing and everything waiting for them on the end of the plane ride and at Martha's Vineyard. And Martha's Vineyard didn't even know they were coming, much less have housing, clothing, and jobs waiting for them. He lied to those people. His representative, a gal named Perla, who lured them onto those planes, she also wrote on their paperwork that they had housing in homeless shelters all across the country.
Oh, God. No way. So, Paula, is this they're saying this is pretty similar to the what was it called, the Freedom Riders, the whole thing that was back
yeah.
in,
yeah.
I don't know if you, was you, when was that? Was you around when that happened?
The Reverse Freedom Riders, and I was a kid. I must have been a kid. That was around, I think, 1963. I was only about 10 years old then. So I don't remember it.
Meaning, I was going to say, I would, but it's terrible because what they did to those people is very similar from what, if you look at it, because I actually watched a little video on that, and it is exactly the same thing where they told them, you know, hey, you know, there's this free, you know, freedom of blah, 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 and they get, you know, they told them that they were going to have all kinds of stuff, and, you know, it was like, you know, here's the end of the rainbow for you, and it wasn't the end of the rainbow. It was pure hell
right.
is what it was, and that's what these people are facing right now.
Right, and you know what I would do if I was, if it's legal with the federal government, if I was Joe Biden, you know what I would do, if it's possible? I would gather every single one of those asylum seekers, those immigrants, bring them to the White House and swear them in as citizens in the
Absolutely.
White House.
Right in front of all of them.
And go,
hell, they should even invite Governor DeSantis to be right there.
Yeah, I was going to say, and give a big fuck you to Governor DeSantis.
Yes. I 100% agree with that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they should do. I've watched this swearing-in ceremony. My ex-husband, the one from Syria, the Muslim, I was there. I was pregnant with our son when he was sworn in. My parents came with us to watch him being sworn in, and it was absolutely fabulous to watch. There were people from all, they announced each of their names, what country they were from. They gave them all little flags, and they held up their flags in their left hand and raised their right hand and did the oath. And it was glorious. It was glorious. And President Biden should do that if he can. I mean, that would be just a big fuck you to the Republicans.
Oh, yeah. I would love it. I would love to see that.
Wouldn't that
you
be
know.
Awesome?
Well, isn't it like what Donald Trump did? Yeah, similar to, well, I guess it would be kind of similar. Remember when he, when they did the Republican National Convention, and he brought those people to the White House, and then he swore them in as citizens, and then he did those pardons on live on TV, and he did all that trying to sway these type of voters, which what I thought was funny. Because he was just doing it for publicity.
Right, right. Well, you know, I don't care if it's publicity or not. After what...
Well, no, I'm saying that's what Donald Trump did it for. Yeah.
Right, right, right. You know, I just... the thing is I helped my ex-husband get his... you know, there's a lot of paperwork that's involved in getting your citizenship. And no, I did not, he did not have, we were in love. I wasn't the green card wife. We were actually in love, and he actually divorced another woman to be with me. I know, naughty.
Not you.
Well, she was actually, I'm not going to say his name. She was actually the green card wife.
Oh.
He said he never slept. Yeah. He said he never
he
slept with her. He wasn't.
Oh.
I'm sorry. She probably wrote that person.
Ivana. You mean Ivana.
Ivana.
Yeah. What, dear?
Oh,
or,
my God.
How about Melania? How about Melania?
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. The one he's married to now that technically
not
elected.
Donald Trump. I neck my Melania. I'm going to smoke some Adderall.
You know, I think Melania, she did that. She got a secret recording of her saying, I hate Christmas.
That was
he
Donald Trump snorting
Adderall. Hey, can you bring up something real fast? I want Paula to hear it if she hasn't heard it yet. It's called,
what is it?
It was just uploaded a little while ago. It's on YouTube. It's called Sean Hannity Accidentally Screws Over Ted Cruz to His Face on Air.
Let's see if I can find it.
He's talking about what happened today or this past week about with the refugees.
Okay.
Okay, let's see if I can find it real quick. It's funny. So somebody in the chat room said, Joe Biden admits Obama policy in Ukraine was bribery. And then they posted a link to YouTube.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Did you
know
that the military investigators for Ukraine have found that Russia soldiers were doing crimes against war to the Ukrainian citizens?
Guys, this insurance company, Otto, is the real deal. Oh, you're a lawyer.
Let's see here. I think I found it here, baby. Hang on. Let's listen to this. This is Sean Hannity. It says Sean Hannity accidentally screws over Ted Cruz to his face on air. Okay, let's see what happens here.
I've argued before the Supreme Court successfully. And from a legal standpoint, let's say I went down to the border and I brought a big truck with me and I picked up a bunch of illegal immigrants and I started transporting them across the country. Would I or would I not likely be arrested for human trafficking? And would it be illegal to do that for me if I did that? For you, a citizen, you could easily be arrested, although, to be honest, Joe Biden's Justice Department wouldn't arrest you. But in an ordinary
I disagree. They'd arrest me. They'd arrest
you. If I was a liberal, I'd get away with
true.
It.
True.
Yeah. Back to the law.
That
the law
agree.
Is clear. It is clear, and right now, the biggest trafficker on the face of the planet is Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. So I don't know what Hannity's endgame was here, but I'm not sure that having Ted Cruz admit that transporting migrants across state lines would be considered human trafficking right after Ron DeSantis' credit for doing exactly that is the smartest move here. Like, congrats, you guys. You just accused a couple of Republican governors of committing an illegal offense. This comes on the heels of Ron DeSantis taking credit for shipping 50 migrants from Texas to Martha's Vineyard, which, to be clear, is an island. The officials who loaded these migrants onto the plane told them that they'd be going to Boston where they'd have jobs and housing. That was a lie, and they were shipped and sent to a remote island with no jobs and no housing. Of course, it was never about being honest. It was never about having humanity. It was about saying or doing whatever they needed to do in order to achieve their actual goal, which was to come on Fox and do an interview like this one. Republicans won't do anything at all unless it has the potential to further their own personal political career. What makes this even more shameful is that this victory lap by Hannity and Cruz comes in the week of the people of Massachusetts doing everything right. After 50 migrants were dropped on a remote island with zero warning, still the people of Martha's Vineyard banded together, cooked some food, took them in, threw together temporary accommodations, and treated them with humanity. And the whole country watched things like this. From there, the governor of Massachusetts, who, by the way, is a Republican, arranged for them to be sent to another city within that state, Cape Cod,
where there was adequate food, shelter, and essential services. Honestly, what else could you possibly ask for? So leave them on an island or put them somewhere where they can actually be taken care of. The people of Massachusetts did exactly, precisely what they should have. And yet, if you needed an indication of the extent to which reality does not matter to these people, these Republicans, here's Ted Cruz's take on what happened in Martha's Vineyard.
Now, with just 50, they've lost it. And what did they do within 24 hours? These leftist hypocrites load them on buses and deported them out of there.
Ah, yes. Deportation, which famously occurs when a state keeps migrants within that state, only to place them where they can actually get the services they need to survive. Because I'm Ted Cruz, and I know what words mean. Notice, too, how he said that the people of Martha's Vineyard lost it. Again, they gave them what shelter was available on the island. They gave them food. They treated them with dignity and compassion and respect. They arranged for transportation to a place where they have long-term prospects. And still, Cruz looks at that and decides that he's going to frame it in such a way that the people of Martha's Vineyard had some kind of a meltdown. Very clearly, there is one person having a meltdown here, and it's no one from Martha's Vineyard. In effect, Ted Cruz wanted the meltdown to happen. He wanted mayhem. He wanted those Massachusetts liberals to react poorly to the migrants. He wanted them to banish them off their islands and complain about their existence and shudder at the thought of helping them. Why? Because that's what Ted Cruz and Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis and Sean Hannity do. And they're looking for a permission structure to continue doing so without feeling any shame. And so they figured that if they could scientifically engineer a situation where they could inconvenience some rich liberals in the most obvious way, like, say, by shipping migrants to a literal remote island where there was no way they could get the care that they needed, then they could get the validation that they were looking for. And of course, they didn't get it, not even close, and so now they're just going to lie, pretend that what they wanted to happen actually did happen, and continue selling their make-believe narrative anyway. Because when the facts are too inconvenient, just lie. And in case there was any doubt about the extent to which they're proud of this accomplishment, here's Ted Cruz with more marching orders.
Let me say, Sean, I commend Greg Abbott for sending the immigrants to these blue cities. I commend Ron DeSantis for doing so, and they need to do more. Tomorrow, Martha's Vineyard needs 100. The next day, they need 200. The next day, they need 1,000. D.C. says it's a crisis to get 6,000. They need 10,000. They need 100,000.
If you can't see that Ted Cruz is driven solely by his desire to ruin lives, then you're not paying attention. These people like Ted Cruz, exist solely to punish those whose political views don't comport with their own. And so this guy shows up to work and collects $174,000 a year so that he can try to cause chaos. That is his only governing philosophy. That's what his party thinks that their government is. To fear-monger, wreak havoc, lie with vulnerable if it means that they can score a cheap political win. These Republicans want you to think that all of politics has to be like that, but it doesn't, even though the GOP is trying their hardest to make that the case. Because while people like Ted Cruz are trying to ensure that the system burns down, Democrats have spent their time in charge by passing the American Rescue Plan, ensuring that all of Americans have access to vaccines and COVID tests for free. They've passed the infrastructure package, which will finally upgrade our crumbling infrastructure. That was a joke during the Trump era. It's a reality during this time. They've passed the first gun safety package in decades. They've passed the CHIPS Act, which funds the domestic semiconductor chip industry right here in the United States, and the PACT Act, which funds health care for sick veterans. They passed the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the biggest climate investment in history, allows the government to finally negotiate lower drug prices, and finally makes the rich pay their fair share. For 43 million American borrowers, they've overseen the strengthening of NATO and the death of the leader of Al-Qaeda. They've added 10 million jobs and brought the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. Politics doesn't have to be so ugly and heartless and evil. People like Ted Cruz have made the conscious decision to make it that way. So the next time these people parade themselves around as if they're the pro-life party, as if there's a party of family values, just remember that their final message to voters ahead of midterms was to use human beings as a political stunt in talking about their extremist position on abortion. Imagine your stance on reproductive rights being so horrific, so vile, that you'd opt instead to make shipping humans off to an island under false pretenses your closing message.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That was pretty good.
You want to hear the hypocrisy of Ted Cruz? I just looked it up. Because I knew that he was... his family were immigrants. Okay. Ted's father, Rafael Bienvenido Cruz Diaz, was born in 1939 in Cuba and came to the U.S. in 1957 on a student visa
to study at the University of Texas. In a 2013 NPR interview, the senior Cruz said that once his student visa expired, he was granted political asylum in the U.S. and obtained a green card. But several years later, he re-immigrated to Canada, where he lived for approximately 8 years and did something he hadn't done in America, become a citizen. Though he returned to Texas in the 1970s, like his son, he retained his Canadian citizenship for decades, finally surrendering it when he became a U.S. citizen in 2005. That's why he had taken so long, almost half a century since he had left Cuba. He replied, I don't know. I guess laziness, I don't know. So, in other words, Ted Cruz is a big fucking hypocrite. His father is an immigrant. He was an immigrant in Canada. He came here to America to study in school, then re-immigrated to Canada, and then came back to the United States. So his own father, Ted Cruz's own father, was a asylum seeker in the United States. And yet, he rails against asylum seekers and immigrants from Hispanic country, from Latino countries. It's absolutely hypocrisy at its finest.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's funny, like, you know, because when he was, when this gentleman was talking, this Brian Tyler Cohen, he made a good point that Ted Cruz is trying to tell people, and that's what he was saying right there in that audio clip, that, I mean, that's what Ted Cruz was saying, that go ahead and send, you know, 1,000, 7,000, 10,000. What he's saying is, let's palm these people's lives. Let's put these people's lives in the, you know, let's just play with these people's lives for the sake of trying to make Democrats look bad. That's what he's hoping that will happen. I mean, that's how much he cares about life. But he wants to come out and bitch about abortions.
Yeah, so for all you hypocrites, these are human beings that are getting fucked over because of Republicans. Their lives are in chaos, not knowing where they're going, what they're doing, how their lives, what their lives are, what to look forward to, what to regret. They are in total chaos because of Republicans. And let me reiterate again, these are human lies that you're
Nala,
fucking with.
Not your bone. Not your bone.
What?
No. Your fucking bone.
She jumped the dog.
Oh.
Sorry, her name's Nala.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Let me repeat Leviticus 19:34. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the native born among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So God is commanding people.
Amen and amen to that.
God is commanding people to treat other people as you would treat yourself, to treat your neighbor as they were family, as they were friends or family. And yet they're doing the complete opposite. They are not Christians whatsoever. Because if you're a Christian... If you're really a Christian and you really believe in God, you'll follow the Bible that you say you believe in.
Yeah.
And didn't we all start as immigrants at one point or another? This land was not ours.
No. 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 It was
we took it from the Native Americans.
Right. The indigenous people of this country. And they tried to screw them. They screwed them over, too. I mean, it's just incredible.
And up until Biden became president, they were still doing it.
Well, the Native Americans, they, you know, obviously we took their land from them, then we gave them only reservations, and then we didn't like them too much, so what did we do? We gave them blankets and everything with smallpox or whatever it was on there, and then they broke out and got sick, and so they thought they were getting something with peace, you know, that was attached to it, and it wasn't peaceful, it was to hurt them.
I mean, when they took these Native American kids, they dressed them in little suits and ties. They forbade them from speaking their own language. They got beat if they spoke their own language. Think about that. I mean,
well, one little thing that a lot of people don't realize that Trump did while he was in office. One of the very last things he did is reconstitute that law, which is actually going on now, and there's a lot of TikTok indigenous people are screaming for help because Biden isn't doing anything about it. Trump put into law that the Catholic Church is stealing the kids again, taking them from their families, cutting their hair. And as most of us who know about indigenous people, their hair is their culture.
Right.
Cutting their hair, taking them away from their families, putting them back in those schools again that happened in the 20s and 30s and 40s. Trump redid that law again where they can the state can come in and take away those kids.
Wow.
Somebody posted in the chat on this. They said where everything went wrong with our country is when they took God out of the schools.
I mean, he ain't wrong. But I mean, the world is a bad place anyway. But
God was never.
Do you remember
in the school?
Being in school and those of us who prayed? Got to pray, and those who prayed a different way was also given the opportunity to pray a different way, and we were all taught to love each other regardless of our religion.
I don't remember.
Absolutely.
But then
that's how my school did.
I'm a boomer. By the way, I found out being called a boomer is supposed to be an insult.
In this young generation, Paula, do you think that boomers that they have issues because they always think they're right? That's what I've heard about. You know, that's what I've heard from this generation how they believe in the boomers.
Well, you motherfuckers, guess what? You know why we're called baby boomers? You know why we're called baby boomers? It's because
we're born during the war.
We were born right after the war, when the soldiers came home from World War II. We were the generation, we're the largest generation ever born in the United States when our parents, mostly fathers, 99% fathers, came home from World War II, got married, and had children. And my father is a World War II veteran. They call it the greatest generation. So, yeah, it's a compliment. You're not insulting me. I am a child of the greatest generation. So every time you call me boomer, I have to and think it's an insult. I have to laugh.
I, you know.
Although the Gen Xers would say the same thing about themselves. raised by the baby boomers, which gave us confidence in ourselves and the ability to control our own lives. But we were still young enough to know technology, and all the generations after us don't realize how screwed they actually are, because Generation X is the reason that they are as weak as they are now.
So
this generation's all about entitlement.
My children's generation, if me and Jerry had kids, our generation, our kids' generation, would have been the ones that screwed up this generation because of the whole, let's give everybody a ribbon for just because they did this. Sometimes working hard builds character. And if you're not built character, you're just given everything in life, you feel entitled.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Right. That's how they feel.
I've lived poor most of my life. I've lived poor most of my life. So, you know, I'm retired now. I'm disabled. I live on my sister's. And let me get that word in real quick. The Republicans want to take away my Social Security that I live on, that I pay my bills with, that I pay my rent with, that I pay my electricity, my water, and my gas bill with, and pay for my gasoline in my car and the insurance on my car. They want to take that away from me, which would make me homeless. Because this is the thing, and this is something that people don't talk about, is that I couldn't even sunset into my really old age in a nursing home. Because you know what? Nursing homes use Social Security to pay for your care in a nursing home. So if I don't have Social Security, and I not only cannot live in my own home and pay my own bills, but I couldn't go to a nursing home that would pay for my care in a home.
Right.
And Republicans want to take that away from us and take away our health, our Medicare.
Oh, but they sit there and say, oh, well, we're the ones who are raising the Social Security and stuff like that. But do you realize my grandmother and my mother are prime examples, just like you. My grandmother's elderly. She's 83 years old. My mom is completely disabled. They gave them a $50 raise last year in Social Security. Do you know what that $50 cost them? My grandmother's rent went up $175 because she is one that goes by HUD housing. My mom's insurance dropped her because she is no longer eligible for her insurance because she makes $50 more a year than she did last year. So now my mother, who has a genetic disorder that is going to kill her one of these days, and there is no stopping it, the only thing that keeps her going is her medications and her therapy. She has to pay out of pocket $10,000 a month.
What?
Which is why she's not taking her medicines anymore. She can't afford it. So the thing that was keeping my mom alive is now shortening her life because of a $50 raise that they gave to Social Security.
Okay. I'm trying to think, because I just got my – I live in public housing in Arkansas. I just got informed that my rent will go down $81 a month starting in November. So,
well, that's good. My grandma got a note that her rent's going up $25 today. Oh, shit. Knocked her right in the head. I guess it depends on where you live, too. Our county is is one of the largest counties in the state.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it depends on the state and how they regulate that, the income from HUD, and what they do with that money. So apparently Ohio doesn't give a crap.
No, they don't.
And I'm in Arkansas. It's a red state. Completely red state. But
we have a
Republican governor that he's got money from the federal government, the PPP loan. And so I think PPP loan. That
sounds
funny. Yeah. So I think that he's actually using that to help people out. I'm in Arkansas. We are rated number 47 in poverty here. We're rated around the same in education. You're yawning. Shut up. we're really poverty stricken here. So, do you want to end the show? Is that what you want to do?
We are getting very close. I think we got like 3 or 4 minutes left. I figure I'll let you close it.
Okay.
Why don't you close the show, Miss Paula?
Okay. Okay, let me, I'm going to repeat Leviticus 19:33-34. When a foreigner lives with you in your land, don't take advantage of him. Treat the foreigner the same as a native. Love him like one of your own. Remember that you were once foreigners in Egypt. I am God, your God. Treat your fellow human being as a sister or a brother. Love one another as I have loved you, according to God. Treat your fellow man with kindness and love. Do not be the opposite of what the Republican Party is right now. We want to thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. We hope we have taught you something. Don't believe the bullshit. Believe in kindness. Assalamu alaikum. May peace be with you. Good night, everybody.
Sounds good. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful week. If anything breaks in through this week, any kind of breaking news, and it's a serious newsworthy, we will come to you live. Paul and I will come back on the show if there's something severe that is breaking news. Let's keep an eye out for this week, because I think that we're going to see some interesting, I have a feeling, spiritual, intuition, man, I can't even speak yet. So I have an intuition that we're going to see something really interesting this week, and I feel like it's going to be with Trump, and I feel like with all the stuff that's going on with DeSantis that we're going to see some really odd, crazy shit this week. That's going to be bad for both of them and the Republican Party. All this stuff's happening this week. Something big is going to happen. And I feel like it's going to happen really soon. So keep tuned to your news sets and find out. And we'll get back to you on that if anything breaks through on the show. With this show at the end, I'm going to play a song here. Actually, Paula sent me this. and I liked it. I thought I listened to the song. I liked it, Paula, by the way, so I'm going to play it. Here it is, and I think it gives a great meaning to what we're dealing with right now. And so I think that that's something very important for everybody to really listen to the lyrics to the song. So I'm going to leave you with this song. Here it is. God bless you. God bless America. And God bless our troops. Here is Elton John in a song called The Border Song. Here it is. Life would be better if we would just all sit down and smoke some weed.
Now everybody gather round and listen if you would. When I tell you every person needs a way of feeling good. Every kitty needs a ball of string and every dog a stick.
But all you need is a bag of weed to really get a kick.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
A bag of weed, oh everything is better with a bag of weed. It's the only help that you'll ever need because everything is better with a bag of weed.
There you go, you're all getting it now.
When Texas people want to feel good,
they go assault a queer.
When stupid people need a thrill,
they rent the Rocketeer.
When Michael Jackson needs a rush,
he humps a guy like me.
But all we need is a bag of weed to keep us worry-free.
One, two, three, four.
A bag of weed, oh, everything is better with a bag of weed.
you don't need taps and you don't need speed, because everything is better with a bag of weed.
Have a go, Brian.
As Mr. H.L. Mencken said, the common man's a fool.
And just like Helen Keller said, to fool give people cool.
But try and use your heads and don't buy into all the fear.
Because all we need is a bag of weed to make us want to cheer. And one, two, a bag of weed, a bag of weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. You can try and fight, but we're all agreed, because everything is better with a bag of weed. Because everything is better with a bag of weed. Oh, weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed.